Thank you, young people and youth leaders. That was fantastic, and we appreciate it so very much. If you'd like to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 18. I'll begin reading at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77, or some of your translations, 70 times seven times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." As is often the case, this is a simple story with a hard-to-life kind of lesson to live out. Man is greatly in debt. It's time for the debt to be paid. His master shows up and the man pleads and begs. The master says, "This is going to cost you everything. I'm going to sell your entire family. I'm going to take all of your goods. I'm going to take all of your assets to begin to pay the debt." Man fell to his knees, and as he begged, the debt collector, the master, had mercy on him and said, "Everything has been forgiven. Everything is canceled. You are debt free." That same guy, getting up off of his knees, had someone who owed him something. He went to that person. The person who owed him something owed him not nearly like what he had owned, what he had just been forgiven. As he went to collect on the debt, the man that he talked to fell to his knees and said, "Would you have compassion on me?" The man who had just been forgiven denied. And he said, "You owe me everything." The word got back out to all of the servants what had happened, and when it got up to the king, he was terribly mad and said, "This man must be tortured for this kind of attitude where he was totally and freely forgiven of everything, and now he calls in the debts of others who owed him far less." So it's a simple story, but this is not the easiest thing to live in our life. So we'll just take one point and just turn it a time or two, and then try to open our hearts and see where we stand in all of this. As a people of God, how much have you been forgiven of from God Himself? Would you say? Just take a guess. Is there anything that God is holding against you as a follower of Jesus Christ? We are a people of forgiveness with God. Is that not true? Could you imagine being in a relationship with the God that you were not forgiven, that you felt like you had to please, that you felt like that you had to get his attention every day, that you felt like you weren't sure if what you just did was going to be something that he would celebrate with you or something that he would condemn. You would go half mad and crazy trying to figure out, tallying every day where you stand with God. Thank God that when we come to him and we confess that Christ is Lord and we ask for forgiveness, He doesn't hand us a paper or a booklet or a manual or a bunch of stuff to read or legislation or ask if we're Republican or Democrat. He just says you are forgiven because of what has happened in Christ. And we walk away in full forgiveness. So, as a people of God who experience nothing less than full forgiveness in Jesus Christ when we enter that experience with Him, the only thing that would make sense and that would help us to reflect the love of God in this life is to treat each other with what kind of forgiveness? Full forgiveness every time. Now, you already see what the problem is. We do not so easily forgive our neighbor or forgive someone who has cut in under you or has worked against you or has maligned you or has ruined your name or has impacted your family in some way or impacted your career in some way. And this is where forgiveness becomes exceptionally challenging and very difficult from our perspective. But here's the thing. If I'm following Christ, then my joy and the life that I can live is one that, regardless of what anybody does to me, I can, at some point in time, give back to them the forgiveness of God rather than entertain the hurt that they have placed on me. So you're going to live in one or the other, right? You're going to spend your life obsessing about who hurt you, or you're going to spend your life giving thanks to the one who forgave you. I mean, it comes down to that. And if you spend your life obsessing about the people who hurt you, we will bury you as a very obsessed person. Now, I won't be able to say that, but everybody there will know. Because when you are obsessed by the people who hurt you, guess who you talk about in every conversation? Just take a wild guess. You can't get them off your mind. You can't get them out of your conversation. They don't leave your head. They're at the top of your agenda. And every time you're in stuff with other people, you won't be able to help it. It's going to come out and it will come up. Do you know what they did last week or last year or when I was? I mean, it is so tough to get rid of it. And we've been totally and fully forgiven while we're being obsessed by somebody who has hurt us or has sought to hurt us. And you're going to live one of those two kinds of lives. Being hurt every day you wake up and being obsessed with people who hurt you, or being set free and even forgiving people who hurt you. That is what is so radical about forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I mean, my word, just imagine if politicians could practice this for 5 seconds, we'd all take a breath and say, thank you for these few moments. Man, I don't want to miss this. But the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ, we have the opportunity to make this our lifestyle. And you wonder, why don't people respond to joy? Because the truth of the matter is, not enough of us practice it as a lifestyle. I mean, it's tough. That's tough for me. It is hard to practice this as a lifestyle. Now, I've been in ministry some years, and there have been people along the way by whom I've been deeply hurt. There have been people who have caused a dismissal from a place of I think, wow, I could get so mad and I could get so frustrated. I've been thrown under the bus. Let me tell you, if I don't practice what God has forgiven me and I let that define me or determine my life, imagine the life that I would have. Imagine the life that I would have. Here's the bottom line. If you or I cannot forgive somebody for something that they have done or you perceive that they have done, you might as well take a stop sign and plant it in concrete right in front of you, because your spiritual life is going no further than your forgiveness. You're done. You can be as religious as they come. You can attend everything that can be attended that a church puts on. You could lead every program. You could watch every televangelist. You could come to every worship service, but your spiritual life is going nowhere if you cannot take the next step of forgiveness for somebody who's hurt your life. Because the whole point is, this is our good news of the gospel, we are forgiven. And we are not forgiven just to be forgiven, we are forgiven to be forgiving. That is our story. We are a people who have been birthed in Christ to be able to exist in such a way that when people think about us, they watch our relationships. We don't have to tell the world, or we don't have to try to reveal to the world we're perfect. Everybody knows we're not. That's not the issue. But we do have to show the world that with all of our perfection, within all of our humanity, we love each other and we forgive each other. That's the life changer. That's what changes the game. That's how culture changes. That is how it gets somebody's attention in the community. And if we're stuck at a place in our life where we cannot forgive, your spiritual life cannot go forward. God forgives. And it could be that anybody in this room, if not all of us, have a place in our life, in our heart, where we need to, on this day or take care of it this week, somebody is eating your lunch. They're eating your life. And you need to forgive. And that could be one of the greatest challenges you'll ever face. Before I came to this church, I heard stories of pastors who attended a conference last year, and they gave testimony to it at the Peninsula Baptist Association conference, which we hosted. And they asked a number of pastors, what was the most powerful thing that happened in your ministry over the year? A number of pastors got up and said, well, there was a conference in which we went to hear. And this is inconceivable to me. I cannot imagine being in this place. Some of you have to face this. They went to a conference where mothers of young men were shot and killed in Newport News. And they went to hear their mothers talk about the journey to forgiveness for the person who was the shooter. I mean, is that not crazy? Is that not wild? I cannot even begin to understand what that is like. I've had nothing remotely close to that in my life. I can only marvel at those who have been on the journey of total and full forgiveness when robbed and taken of the thing that they would have given the rest of the world to get back. I just cannot imagine it. That is the forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness we need to have and express. In a world that is rude and crass and harsh and unforgiving and unloving and exists to cut everything out from under you and watch you fall and have a party while you're going down. Imagine a people who reverse that whole thing by the way that we love, by the way that we forgive, and by the way that we move this story of the kingdom of God forward by living in forgiveness, regardless of what has been done to you or against you. That's the challenge. So I encourage you as you go out through the week, find the place, it won't take long, find the place where you're hurt the most, and where that place is, there's probably unforgiveness. It's probably unforgiveness. Take that to God because you can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. Take it to God and say, God, the kind of forgiveness that I need to flow through me is not the kind of forgiveness that I can come up with. You can come up short. I guarantee you can come up short. It is only the kind of forgiveness that flows from you through Calvary, through an empty tomb, in the power of the Spirit living in me. I need, I desire, I give myself to that kind of forgiveness because this is the point where I am hurt. Help me. You do it. Forgive that individual, give that person for the name and the glory of Jesus Christ. And even if they're still wrong, and it usually gets to a point, it's not even about right and wrong anymore. Let me live as the person who lived like Christ. Here's one of the most awkward things I could ever think about, that one day I stand before God and he says, Brian, welcome. You're home now. And I've prepared all of this for you. And you're forgiven. And if God were to look at me and say, Brian, glad that you're here. Was there anybody that you did not forgive? Standing in the presence of God, fully forgiven. I don't want to have to think of a soul or a person that I not, through Christ, have forgiven. One of the best authors in Christian leadership wrote these words: if you are following Jesus Christ or you are ministering for Jesus Christ and somebody is not undercutting what you're trying to do for Christ, you're not leading. So what? You're not leading unless somebody's working against you. And for that kind of leadership, for anybody who follows Christ, we're going to have to walk in total and full forgiveness for those who might even be working against you. So I hope you will hear and receive the challenge and the encouragement of how radical this simple thing is. A man was forgiven everything. And for the life of him, he could not turn around and forgive a colleague or a friend or a family member or a coworker. And when the master heard about it, I suppose even the master must have said to himself, I cannot believe that with all that this person has been forgiven, they could not turn around in life and forgive somebody else who had done not nearly as much as what the unforgiving person had done against a living Lord. So as we come, I'm going to invite you today, wherever you are, this is just between you, God, your heart. I'm here to pray with you. You might have a hurting place because there's unforgiveness somewhere. Let's just deal with that today. Let's take care of it. You may want to come and stand, kneel, or you might want to take your first breath or your first step into the kingdom of forgiveness and come to Jesus Christ. That's what he's about. You don't have to explain it to him. You don't have to defend yourself. He's already got your number, and his response is, I love you. I died for you. And you can have total and full forgiveness before you walk out these doors today. And I invite you to come. I would love for us to pray together. I would love for you to connect with the Heavenly Father in that way. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, please to stand with me. I'm going to pray. After I pray, we're going to sing together. When we sing, I'm going to invite you to respond as you feel like God is leading you today, and I'll be right here at the front to meet you as you come.